again, we're going to look at a big group of Proverbs. And, you know, the trouble or the problem for me going through Proverbs is that it breaks up into so many different thoughts. You know, it doesn't flow with a body of, you know, continuity like most chapters through the Bible. It breaks up, goes from one subject to a totally different, another subject, extreme, very difficult to expound. Would take long time to go through the book of Proverbs. So we're just going to hit a few. I would encourage all of you, you know, to stay, you know, in pace as we go through. We're going to look at 8 Proverbs, to read the Proverbs as we go through them. I think there's something special about that for the church, for the body, as we go through. If you keep pace and you can, you know, go through the Bible with us, not missing anything. But I just wanted to hit a few things. In Proverbs 10, there's a couple of, you know, nuggets that popped out at me. Look in verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. True riches, according to the scripture, is God's blessing. In Proverbs chapter 12, skipping right along, in verse 11, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. He who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. A lot of Proverbs, you know, concentrate on laziness and hard work and the benefits of hard work and the labor of your own hands. In verse 15, Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Truth, over and over again, spoken of. Look in Proverbs 13, verse 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Much to be said in Proverbs about our mouth, the things that come off our lips, the tongue, what we say, and, you know, the effect of the words that come off and out of our mouth. Joe Foch says, you know, the tongue is the only organ, he calls it, that comes with a cage. You can actually keep it in the cage. Much to be said through Proverbs about our words, the right use of words. Look in verse 13, chapter 15. I'm sorry, verse 12, chapter 14. Chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. What really makes you sick is when you lose your hope. You got hope? Hope of what's up and coming? It's what brings life. Tree of life. Hope. His hope. In Proverbs 14, look in verse 4. Here's an excuse I used to use for my van. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean. You say, hey, man, I work all the time. What do you expect? A clean van? chapter 14. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Self-deception. Spoken of over and over again in Scripture. Over and over again in Proverbs. In Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, the tone in which we speak, the right words, using the right words, disarming arguments. Verse 13, chapter 15, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Merry heart, wearing your heart on your face. And this morning we're going to turn back to chapter 10 and land on verse 12. The Bible says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." Again, let's pray. Father, again, as we continue through your word, we ask that you would speak to us, that you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a will to respond. Lord, we need you. We look to you. We ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 12, again, you know, so much truth in each verse. Solomon wrote, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin." Hatred. Is that something we talk about a lot? I looked up the word of the root word, this word hatred, in the Hebrew. It's mentioned 17 times. Sinah. But it comes from a verb, a Hebrew verb, sani, which really is defined by a range, a degree, from, you know, having an attitude towards someone or to be set against with a bitter disdain, all the way to being just totally outright hateful towards someone. The word speaks of hate. Vines, he's got a good book on word definition. He says that it usually comes from an emotion. Hatred comes from an emotion of jealousy. What Joseph's brothers experienced because their father preferred Joseph. The jealousy, the envy that rose up, they hated their brother because of how he was favored. The Bible tells us that, you know, in the book of Genesis, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every intent or thought of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Before God destroyed the earth, judged mankind and sin, things got out of hand. The intent of their heart was evil continually. That would imply they hated God. They hated each other. Hatred was prevalent. But the Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord." That's why we're here. Because of God's grace. The definition of hatred. The Bible tells us that hatred stirs up strife. It means quarreling, arguing. I read a quote, you know, "Hating people is like burning down your house to get rid of a rat." Hating people is destructive. Hatred seeks occasion to provoke conflict. Last week we covered the six things that are an abomination to the Lord. Yes, seven. One of them was sowing discord among the brethren. Hatred. Troublemaking. Malice. Look in verse 28 in Proverbs 16. "A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." A perverse man. This is a biblical pervert. One who hates, one who is in contention, one who quarrels, stirs up strife, sows strife. Then in, look in Proverbs 15, look in verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Or this is a parallel verse. Look in 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Better is eating soup, herbs, than, you know, with love, than steak with hatred. Less is sometimes more. How, you know, the Bible talks about hatred and strife. Look in verse 14, chapter 17. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. The Bible promotes early intervention. You get into an argument, your problem provoked into responding in your flesh, out of your flesh. Stop then. Yeah. Once you start into an argument, hey, I know by experience. Once you start, man, it flows. You open up the dam. You release the water. It's hard to stop. How the Bible talks about hatred stirring up strife. Look in verse 19, chapter 17. He who loves transgression loves strife. He who exalts his gate seeks destruction. Loves transgression, loves breaking God's law. That's queer. Then notice the second part of this. And he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. Hatred. Being involved in hatred, contention, quarreling, strife. I read one of the old commentaries. He says it's like one that, you know, raises his gate. Back in the, you know, their culture, you know, you're to keep your gate low to the ground, offering protection from a thief, you know, on a camel or a horse coming in, rip you off, take your spoils. But a proud man that's comfortable in his strife raises his gate like he's protected from the thief. But the thief will come in. Strife, hatred, is self-destructive. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed one another by one another. It's ruinous. They're involved in an argument, contention, and strife. It's self-destructive. It'll eat you alive. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, take heed lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness rise up and cause trouble. Hatred, bitterness, contention, strife. Hatred stirs up strife, the Bible tells us. But not only that, it's a work of the flesh, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are, there's 21 things mentioned, I think, or 17 things mentioned. And three of them are hatred, strife, and contention. It's a work of our flesh. It's human depraved nature that naturally interacts among each other. It's not pleasing to the Lord. The Bible tells us not only is it not pleasing, it's at enmity, at odds with God. When we partake in an argument, we allow hatred, strife, contention. We're at odds, enmity, enemy with God. Enemy or enmity with God's Spirit. But it doesn't end there. The second part of the Scripture is a contrast. Most of Proverbs speak of a contrast. You know, the wickedness, the godly. And the righteous, you know, the ungodly. Or the godly, the ungodly, the wicked, the righteous. And how contrasted with hatred, the works of the flesh, human nature, things that displease God, things that run, if they run their course, bring down God's judgment upon the earth. Man going in his own way, operating in his flesh. But love covers all sins, the Bible tells us. I looked up this word, cover. Kasa. It means a covering for protection. It means to be clothed. It means to conceal a matter. But it means even to the point it's overwhelming. It's overwhelmed, the power of this covering, or the extent of the covering. It's greater than hatred, the covering of love. How love covers all sins. It's not a cheap cover. Look in verse 18, chapter 10. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. It's not a fool's cover to have something in your heart, act like you don't. To hide it in your own power, that's not God. That's not God's spirit. That's not God's way. That's not God's word. It's a fool's cover. It's a cheap cover. Here about a month ago or so, 2 months ago, we seen an ad in the Macy's, you know, advertisement in the paper, and get a comforter for your bed. Comes with bed sheets and a skirt and pillowcases, 4 pillowcases, all for $29.99. Roseanne said, hey, man, this is a great deal. So we went down to Macy's and we had a coupon, so we got it for like $25. And we didn't open it for a while. So we finally opened it yesterday. Now I know why it was so cheap. It was like paper thin. It's not a comforter. It's not a cover. It's a cheap cover. You put it on you, it's like paper thin, cheap rice paper. That's a cheap cover to walk around and lying lips and hiding our own hatred in our heart. It's a fool's cover. You know, we come to a point where, hey, we learn so much, we think we can manage ourselves. We become sophisticated. Now we know the scripture. See, early on, when we were oblivious, we really relied upon the Lord. We came to Him, we didn't know nothing about scripture. But, oh, the Lord is good. We experienced His presence. We gave Him our heart, everything. And He gave everything back. And yet, we walked and we loved and we didn't know, and then we learned more. And we get sophisticated. Now we know. We're no longer, you know, hippies. We're yuppies now. We got it going on. We understand the scripture, we think. So now we can, you know, adopt or adapt the scripture principles, and we can manage ourselves. That's a bunch of hooey. We can't manage ourselves. We can't cover our own sin. Because we know Scripture, we need His covering. We need His help. We're not to operate under my own covering, my own strength. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're familiar with it. It's the love chapter. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers all sins. In 1 Corinthians 13, look in verse 4. The definition of love, agape love. Love suffers long and is kind. It can take and take and take and take and take, and a kind response. That's love. Love does not envy at all. Love does not parade itself. It's not proud or puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Always courteous. Always on your best behavior. Does not seek its own. Love isn't selfish. Is not provoked. Can't even be provoked. Thinks no evil. No intent of the thought is evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The eternal optimist trusting in Jesus. But love, the definition of love. Now, love covers all sins. The Bible tells us that God is love. You know, you read this chapter, you really find out where you're at spiritually. I mean, do I take, and then am I kind? No. I'll take once in a while. Sometimes when I'm really doing well spiritually, things, comments just roll off my back like Teflon. Sometimes I'll respond vehemently right away in my flesh. But that's not love. The love that I need, that we need as a cover, that covers all sins, comes from Him. We need Him. We need this covering. Love covers all hatred, stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. All sins. That word for sins is the transgressions or rebellion in you, in me. Love covers that sin. Against others, against God, the attitude, unforgiveness, bitterness. Covering, you know, in its best example, definition, is forgiveness. It's used in Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Having your sin covered, not with a cheap cover, but his, forgiven, pardoned. Pardon from the guilt. Pardon from the shame. Forgiven from the punishment. Released. Free. Blessed is the man whose transgression is covered, whose sin is covered. Love covers all sins. He desires to cover us, our guilt, our punishment. It provides an offering for transgression. Covers all sins. All sins. Love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible tells us. Turn to James chapter 5. A couple more verses and then we're done. Chapter 5, look in verse 20. I'm sorry. Yeah, 5:20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. This covering for sins. God wants us not only to experience it for ourselves, the pardon, the release from guilt and shame, the freedom He brings, but to engage in the sharing of it with others, covering a multitude of sins. In 1 Peter, the Bible tells us that, speaking to our time, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and faithful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. It's our covering. Man, I was reading this and covered and reminded, and you know, Jesus said we're to repent and to return to our first love. The love that flowed, that we sensed, experienced. Let's stand. You know, Jesus tells us that we're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we're to love our neighbor as ourself. And this is the fulfillment of the law, to love. But in truth, we know that in our mind. But to let Him flow through our heart brings covering, brings release, brings refreshment, brings freedom. Let's pray. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Lord, we look to You. We thank You for Your word. And Lord, we do recognize and acknowledge that You are love, and that the power of the Holy Spirit is love. and the living water that you desire to be poured out from our innermost being is love. Lord, we look to you and realize that we can't cover our own sin. Cheap cover, lying lips. Lord, we ask that we experience your covering, the release of your touch, your transformation, your spirit, your love. Let your love flow, Lord, out of our heart back to you. We love God, to love one another. Jesus, you says, I have loved you. Lord, we can't do this in our own strength. And we ask that you pour out your spirit upon us and bring forth that covering love that flows, that forgives. If there's any one here that has any bitterness or attitude or unforgiveness, been hiding their own hatred with their own cheap cover, Lord, penetrate. Bring forth your healing, your spirit, your touch. Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to you. We ask that you have your way, that you might accomplish your purpose, that we might engage in your spirit interaction, your plan, your will. In Jesus' name, amen.